And again, a word of welcome to everyone that's joined us tonight. It's good to see everyone that's here, and those from the area, and those from a wee bit further afield. We just appreciate everyone that is taking the time just to come tonight. Now, these meetings will recommence on Sunday night in the will of God. There'll be no meeting tomorrow, no meeting on Saturday, but Sunday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week, every night at 8 o'clock, there'll be another meeting for the preaching of the gospel and the will of God. And you're given a very warm invitation to join us at all of these meetings, or as many of these meetings as you possibly can. And again, we just encourage you to invite your friends and neighbours to come along and hear the word of God being preached at this time. So these meetings will continue Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, next week at 8 o'clock. Now, there's a time of prayer at 7:15 each evening, and if you're free to join us for that, then the local believers would appreciate that very much indeed. Now, we just want to read some verses, first of all, in Mark's Gospel in chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll read the first 10 verses of the chapter, and then we'll read some verses in John's Gospel. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for many of them come from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set before them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, or 7 hampers. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and he came into the parts of Dalmanutha. John 6, John's Gospel in chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse number 25. And when they had found him, that is the Lord Jesus, when they had found the Lord Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou here? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee what thou dost work? Our fathers did eat manna in a desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Just further down the chapter to verse number 47. Verse number 47, the Lord says again, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth in me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 57, the Lord Jesus says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, or he that believeth in me, even he shall
live by me.
This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And that's all we'll read tonight, and we're sure that God has already blessed these words to our hearts. Last night we looked at the two previous incidents at the end of Mark's Gospel chapter 7. We noticed in the first incident that the Lord Jesus met the need of a little maid. In the second incident, he met the need of a man. And in the incident that's before us tonight, he met the need of a multitude. And it's amazing as we just read through the Gospels that it doesn't matter who a person is, or where a person comes from, or what a person has. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet their need. And we're going to focus in tonight on this incident that we've read about in Mark chapter 8. The Lord Jesus meeting the need of a whole multitude. You see, sometimes even as preachers and as Christians, you know, we come to God with requests which are really an affront to God. You know, sometimes we come to God and we're asking God to save a soul. Oh, that we would appreciate the greatness of our God. And oh, that we might have the faith to come to Him and ask Him to save a multitude. It's just as easy for our God to save a multitude of people than it is for our God to save one. Christian friend in the meeting tonight, how big is your God? How big is your God? What is your vision? What is your burden for these meetings that you come at this time? Is it the salvation of a soul? Or I wonder, is it the transformation of a community? You know, I believe that my God is big enough to transform you, come on. I believe that my God is big enough to open the power of His Spirit, sweep right down through the villages and the towns right about them and change them totally and completely. That's how big our God is. And He does meet the need of individuals. But praise God, He can also meet the need of multitudes. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a vast multitude of 4,000 people. And the need of every individual was just the same. The need of every individual was just the same. I don't know the full composition of the crowd that were before the Lord Jesus that time. I'm sure there were little boys and there were little girls and there were teenagers and there were older people and there was the senior citizens and they were all there, but their need was all the same. And there might have been people there that were dressed in all their finery and they came from the upper echelons of society. And there were those there in their peasant garments and there were those there in their beggar's cloaks. But their need was all the same. There were people there that had lived immoral lives. Adulterers, fornicators. There were those that were most self-righteous and religious and morally upright. But as the Lord Jesus looked at the multitude, the need was just the same. My friend, as I look over this audience tonight, I want to say the need of the folks at the front is exactly the same as the need of the folks at the back. And as I look across New Cumnock and down Cumnock and Auchinleck and all the area round about us, Kirkconnell, and all the places represented here, I see that the need of men and women and young people is just exactly the same. What was the need of the multitude? The need of the multitude was simply this. They were all hungry. They were all hungry. They were all empty. And there they were in a desert wilderness place and they were hungry. And they were thirsty and they were longing. They were empty.
Does that not just sum up people's lives today? Maybe just sums up your life tonight. But just deep down within your heart, there's just an emptiness. That you've been trying to fill for years. You've been seeking after satisfaction. You've been seeking after happiness. You've been seeking after fulfillment. And it's just evaded you. It's just that elusive dream that you can't get a hold of. And you're here tonight, and deep down within your heart, there's just an emptiness. You see, there's some people that try to find satisfaction in learning, in education, in the pursuit of knowledge. And the Bible speaks about those who are ever learning, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. And maybe that's where you are today. You've got that sort of inquisitive mind, and you pry into that, this, that, and the next thing, and you're always searching for the answers, and you never really find them, and you're left empty, you're left hungry for more. Some people, and they try to find satisfaction in the pursuit of wealth. And that becomes the goal of their life. That becomes their ambition. That becomes their consuming passion. Just to have more and more of this world's things and this world's money. And you seek after it. And you get a little bit more here, a little bit more there. But it never really satisfies, does it? You're still left empty. And some people think that they'll get satisfaction in the pursuit of the world's pleasures. Whether it's the football field, or whether it's the nightclubs, or whether it's the public houses, or the bingo halls, or all that the world has got to offer, all the different age groups, and all the different preferences, the devil's got something for everyone. And maybe you've tried everything he's had to offer you, and it's still just left you empty. Just left you empty. And there's others, and they've sought for that satisfaction, for that happiness. They've sought for it in drugs, in drink. Thought they would get it at the end of a needle. Thought they would get it at the bottom of a bottle. Thought they would get it in a little round pill. And the high lasted a few minutes, and then it was just back into a sense of loneliness and emptiness and dissatisfaction. And you're here tonight, and there's a hunger in your heart. There's an emptiness right in the depths of your soul. And your need tonight, my friend, it's just the common universal need of men. Because you and I were made by God, and we were made for God. That's why the world can never really satisfy us. That's why all that Satan offers us and all the world offers us, it leaves us short. Because we're too big for the world to fill. We're too big for the world to satisfy. Oh, that you would get a grip of that tonight, that you as an individual are too big to be satisfied with all that the world's to offer. You were made for God. Yes, you. With all your problems and all your low self-esteem and all the emptiness and turmoil in your life, yeah, you were made by God and you were made for God. And you'll never really be truly happy until you find God. Because there's a God-shaped part in every one of our beings that only God can fill. And you see, my friend, because of sin, we've become separated from God. Because of sin, there's a great distance between us and God. And because of sin, we can't be what we've been made to be. We can't fulfill the very purpose for our existence because sin has taken us away from God, and sin means that there's an empty void in our life that only God can fill. Only God can fill. It's just like the big jigsaw, isn't it? The big 1,000-piece jigsaw. My mother's a jigsaw freak. And you know, she'll have all these complicated jigsaws that she works at for weeks and end. I don't visit her very often, unfortunately. But you know, every time I go, there's a jigsaw there. Seems to be the same one often. But you know, imagine a 1,000-piece jig, and you spend hours putting all the wee pieces, and then there's just one bit missing. One bit missing. Picture's no complete, is it? Picture can never be complete until that bit is found and put in its place. There's nothing can take the place of the bit that's missing. You can cut a bit of plastic and stick it in, but it's not going to work. It's not going to complete the picture. You can press a little bit of plastic into the space, and you might fill up the hole, but you don't complete the picture. my friend, your life is just like that jigsaw, and there's a big bit missing tonight, isn't there? And it just seems that in your heart, in the innermost being, there's just a big hole, there's something missing, the picture's not complete, and you're trying to press something into that hole. You're pursuing after something in life, in order that that feeling of emptiness may be taken away, that the hole may be plugged. My friend, it doesn't matter what you try to push in the hole, it's not going to fill it, it's not going to complete the picture. My friend, you need the missing bit. My friend, that missing thing in your life is Christ. He's the one that completes the picture. He's the one that fills the empty void in our life. He's that great mediator that reunites men with God, or unites men with God, reconciles men to God, and brings them into a relationship with God whereby they start to be what God intended them to be. And without Jesus Christ in your life filling that empty void, my friend, you're going to live your life with a sense, a deep sense of emptiness within your heart, and nothing of the world will ever fill it. Nothing will really fill it. And the need of that multitude was all the same. They were all hungry. They were all hungry. And what is the Lord Jesus had compassion on them? We spoke about that a few nights ago. The Lord Jesus looked to them. It said in a previous chapter, when he saw the 5,000 that were hungry, it said that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd and was moved with compassion. And what is it says that he had compassion on them on this occasion because they'd been with him for 3 days and they'd never eaten. They were with him for 3 days and they'd never eaten. And he had compassion on them. You see, when a person's in your company for a few times, you know, you get to like that person, don't you? You get to have feelings for that person. You start to feel responsible for that person. That person just is getting closer and closer, and as they get closer to you, you just want the best for them. We know that in our personal relationships, don't we? You know, when people come into our life, we start to have feelings for them. There's folks in this hall tonight, and I want to tell you that deep in this heart of mine, there's feelings for you. A few weeks ago, a few months ago, I'd never set eyes on you. I didn't know you from Adam. But you know, God has brought you into my life, and you know, there's feelings in you. And the Lord Jesus Christ had the companionship of these people for 3 days. And there was that intimate relationship that was building up between them. He knew their faces, and he knew their hearts, and he knew their lives, and he knew their sorrows, and he's looking into them, and he sees them and all their hunger, and he's got compassion. He's got compassion. He wanted the best for them. He wanted to satisfy them. He wanted to feed them. He wanted to fill them. He wanted to pour his life into them, to pour his joy and his peace into them. He wanted the very best for them. And I want to tell you tonight, that's what we desire for you. Well, we could never love you with the same depth as Christ loved you. We could never show the same compassion as he showed. We could never have the same burning desires as he had. But I want to say to every soul in the meeting tonight, I would desire the very best of your life. I would long that you might be satisfied with Christ. I long that you might taste of the living bread that came from heaven. I would long that you might find peace and salvation through believing in Christ and experience life everlasting in Jesus. The Lord Jesus says these words. He says, if I send them away, they're going to faint. They're just going to faint by the way if I send them away. Ah, my friend, it's wonderful to know that Christ will never send us away. In fact, we read those words in John chapter 6. He says, him that comes to me, I'll never send away. I'll never turn them away. Never cast them. You see, the Lord Jesus was really saying, listen, if I send them away, they'll get no hope any. They'll just faint, they'll just perish. They'll just faint, but he says, they'll not even get back home.
They'll just perish by the wayside if I send them away.
And the Lord Jesus realized that he was the only one that could satisfy.
He was the only one that could meet their need.
And apart from Christ, they would fade, and apart from Christ, they would perish. My friend, the Lord Jesus is the only one that can meet your need tonight. The only one that can fill the emptiness in your heart. The only one that can bring reality and fulfillment into that life of yours. My friend, without Christ you'll perish. Without Christ you'll perish because you need Christ, because Christ alone is the answer to your deep need tonight. And the tragedy is that there are folks perishing by the wayside, up and down the land, day and daily. Because they don't want anything to do with Christ. The only one that can meet their need. Oh my friend, listen, the Lord Jesus says, I'll not send you away. But my friend, you'll need to come. He says, him that comes to me, I'll never cast them out, I'll never send them away. My friend, I wonder, will you come to the Saviour tonight? Just as you are. Just get rid of all the front.
Just strip down the barriers. Just take away the blinds of hypocrisy that you've put across your life. Just come as you are. Just confess tonight the hunger that's in your soul.
You see, if you didn't feel a need in your life tonight, you wouldn't be here. Let's face up to it. If you didn't feel there was something missing in your life, you wouldn't be sitting on the benches of the gospel hall tonight. The Lord Jesus says, listen, I just want you to come clean with me. I don't want you to hide behind any front. I just want you to come clean. I just want you to come as you are. I can see the emptiness. I can see the longings. I can see all that sin has done in your life. And I know that I can make a difference. I know that I can feed you. I know that I can fill you. I know that I can satisfy and save you. And I just want you to come in your need. And here was this multitude, and they came around the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus set them all down. And he took these 7 loaves and he broke them. And it says that he set them before them. There's no forced feeding here. The Lord Jesus commanded the disciples just to set the loaves before them. Didn't force it down their throat. Didn't use any strong arm tactics. The Lord Jesus Christ just took that provision and he just set it before them and offered them that food to eat. That's what the Lord does tonight.
I noticed that he did it through the disciples. The Lord took the loaves and the Lord broke the loaves and the Lord gave to the disciples and the disciples set it before the multitudes.
My friend, that's my privilege tonight. That's the great honour that God has given to me. It's just to take that living bread. Christ himself. The one that satisfies. The one that fills the longing heart. The one that imparts life from heaven, life from above, eternal life. And it's my privilege, my friend, just to set him before you. I can't force you to believe in him tonight. I can't force you to trust. I can't force you to open up your heart and let him in. I can't. God doesn't expect me to, and God doesn't ask me to. God just asks me to do what the Lord asked the disciples, just to spread the bread before you. I said, here's one that can satisfy me. Here's one that can fill the longing in your heart. Because you see, what we read in John's Gospel chapter 6 was the Lord Jesus was the bread.
The Lord Jesus says, I am the true bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
You see, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6, he was talking about an incident way back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and God provided manna, angel's food that came down from heaven and it lay in the ground every morning apart from the Sabbath, and they partook of that and they were satisfied. The Lord says, listen, he says, all the folks, he says, that partook of that manna, they're all dead. They're all dead.
They're only satisfied for a little while. He said, but I am that true bread that comes down from heaven and gives life. Gives life.
You know, those that believe in the Lord Jesus will never die, will never perish, will have life everlasting. Well, my friend, that's why Christ came. Christ came that you might have life.
He says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, have it in all its glorious fullness and satisfying power.
Lord Jesus left heaven that you might have that life.
We read in John chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus talked about the bread that was his flesh, which he gave for the life of the world. Which he gave. The Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion was with his disciples in a room just above the level of the street in Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread into his hands and he broke it and he said, this is my body. This is my body which is given for you. My flesh, which he gave for the life of the world. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that you might have satisfying life, abundant life, life in all its fullness, eternal, the Lord Jesus gave his life upon that cross. He suffered in his own flesh, he suffered in his own body. And who tonight, my friend, in this hall, in this world, would have the vocabulary to describe the awfulness and the intensity of the deep sufferings of the Lord Jesus, what he endured at Calvary? When he gave his life, when he suffered in the flesh, when he gave his flesh for the life of the world. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life that you might have life. And the Lord Jesus speaks in John chapter 11 about, John chapter 6 about being that bread of life. And he says, he that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. And just as those 7 loaves and these few fishes satisfied the need of that multitude 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus saying, listen, that's just a picture of something that's far greater and far more wonderful and far, far more eternal. He says, my bread, my flesh, given for the life of the world, that those that believe in me never hunger, never thirst. I think he's the true bread. He's the living bread. He's the bread of God. He's the one that can satisfy. And the Lord wants you to receive him. The Lord wants you to believe in him, to trust in him, and to find that he becomes your satisfying portion, that he fills the emptiness in your life. He takes away the longings and he brings peace and joy and forgiveness and salvation. My friend, all that you need tonight is a poor, lost, lonely, empty, dissatisfied soul. All you need is in Christ. He's that living bread. He gave his life that you might have life abundant, life in all. It's little wonder the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, he says, don't labour for the meat that perishes. That which endures and everlasting life. What are you living for today? The meat that perishes. That's all the world offers. That just caters to the physical appetites, to the sensual appetites of the heart. My friend, there's plenty out there that cater for the appetites of the heart. The Lord says, don't labour. Don't wait for that. Anything the world can offer you, it's only of a physical nature, it's only of a sensual nature, it's only of a temporary nature. Don't go in for the meat that perishes. But my friend, you go in for that meat that endures unto everlasting life. You go in for Christ tonight. He's the one that satisfies you. And only on a Friday night and a Saturday night, and a Saturday morning and a Sunday morning as well. When other folks have got their hangovers, when other folks are going for the Dispin and the Aspen and all the rest of it, my friend, the Christian finds that Christ is his satisfying portion. And we don't need the booze and we don't need the drink and we don't need the world's pleasures. Why do we need all that when we'll get everything in our blessed Lord? The true bread that has come down from heaven and gives life to the world, gives life to all those that trust in him.
all those that believe him. You see, for the Christian, the Lord Jesus becomes the very source of their life, and the very reason for their life, and the very expression of their life. And the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, as I live by the Father, he says, even so, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And the Lord Jesus becomes the very source of their life, the very reason for their living, the very expression of their living. Oh, my friend, tonight, Christ becomes everything to those that trust. And you're here tonight and you're lonely, and you're empty, and you're thirsty, and you're hungry. My friend, Christ the answer. He can meet your need tonight. Not by giving you things, but by giving you himself, offering himself. And we set Christ before you tonight. We would ask you to trust in him. We can't force it. We can't make you, but we long that you would do that. We long that tonight you would trust and see. And taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a wee verse from the Bible. Taste and see that the Lord is good. My friend, there's folks in this meeting tonight that are in their 80s, maybe even some touching their 90s, and I can tell you they've been tasting for years that the Lord is good. He satisfied them. Satisfied them the night they were saved. And satisfied them the next week after they were saved, and the next month, and the next year, and the decades that have followed, and they can truly say tonight, he's not a disappointment. Taste and see tonight that the Lord is good. Prove him tonight. Trust him. And you'll find he'll come into your heart. And the picture of your life will be complete. Because that empty void will be filled with the precious Son of God that restores that relationship with the Father that brings you into the family and brings you into the blessings of God and the blessings. Gracious Father, we just bow again in thy holy presence and thank thee for the satisfying portion that we have in Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that Christ is better for us than the world can ever do. We realise that the world just leaves us cold at times, it leaves us empty, it leaves us disappointed, it leaves us, O God, full of distress and misery. But we thank thee, O God, that all we find in Christ is life and peace and joy and grace and happiness. And our God, we thank you for all that's good, all that's virtuous in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that he offers himself to men and women. And he prays and he longs that they would trust in him, that they would receive him. And that he would just become that everything to, in their lives. And that he would give to them that life that comes from above. So our Father, bless then thy word to every heart we pray as we ask it in the Lord's name. Amen.